Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 27th of July. Joining us this morning is...
Don't say
it. You're peeking over my shoulder.
I just know you're going to say something.
Humboldt County Supervisor still, Virginia Bass.
Well, that was better than what I thought you could have said. Thank you.
Do you want to fess up to something at this time?
No, I'm still... Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So. And you brought somebody along here who's going to be a little bit more familiar to us.
Yes, I do have Natalie Arroyo. I can't even say I can't talk this.
Natalie
morning.
Roro.
Oh, Roro. I get that one.
I guess you're using a couple different pseudonyms now, huh?
We just said we're gonna have fun in the next few months and transition. We want plan to have fun, so you get to be our first joint effort.
I'm fun.
Yes, thank you for having us both.
I'm going to hold my. I'm reserving my.
You got to hold that back. Yeah, okay.
Natalie gets the question.
All right.
I'll listen just in case.
Is this trivia?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
It's knowledge.
Oh. I made one.
I like word origin information. All right. Now. Let's go.
Why do we say graveyard shift?
Is that when the graves were dug?
In and out of the body snatchers have come in and moved them to the other spots. I don't know.
You said you weren't going to play, but now you're playing. Okay, fine.
I was just playing,
Every industry that operates around the clock has a graveyard shift. Some persons who punch a clock at odd hours think their time of work has some sort of connection with burial places. But the true origin of graveyard shift is not quite so obvious. Any thick liquid called gravy for a long, long time. Only special kinds of gravy went on the table. Humor running from the eyes caused some people to be called gravy-eyed. It's getting a little esoteric here.
Okay.
How do you pull these out?
I just read them from the book, of course. In addition to disease, late vigils in bed led to blurry eyes. Sailors who had the watch that started at midnight were often gravy-eyed. It was gravy-eyed and graveyard kind of close.
Well, it's a really gross mental image.
Graveyard. Yeah, okay, good. That led them to speak of the middle watch as the gravy-eyed shift. Landlubbers who heard the expression didn't fully understand it. Aided by superstitions about cemeteries, the seaborne label became the graveyard shift in industry.
I did not.
So the gravy was there, and you missed it.
Gravy, yeah. And it was a maritime thing, and I
you missed it.
Sad that I didn't know.
Yeah, both of you guys kind of X'd out on that one, huh?
Screwed up.
So this is the first joint appearance for you two?
Well, other than having coffee and visiting and taking random pictures with random strangers.
Yeah, we have coffee and meet up.
You have a fan club
often.
Already?
We do have a fan club of people in the street who just jump in.
We don't even
photos.
Know who they are. No, it's been fun.
That's weird.
Fun. No, it's...
A fan club? No.
Just random people walking along the street. Sometimes just
Well, I see a lot
pictures.
Of random people walking along the street in your district. That I would want to have a picture taken by or with.
This gentleman smelled like he had recently been enjoying some booze. So he jumped into a photo with us, and I have it if you'd like to see
we
it.
We still have no idea who he is, but watch out what you say about people who are in my district because you live there and you walk there too. Just saying.
Yeah, but I don't walk up to strangers and ask for pictures.
Do they walk up to you and ask for pictures? I mean, with your fabulous shirt collection.
Yeah, that's happened. So you're starting the road tour a little bit early. One of the questions that I have always had is that if someone is running for office, and this is like supervisors and above, so it's a full-timer, how can they run for a different office while they're still on and have the responsibilities of the job at their current place of employment? I used to have great fun with Bonnie Neely on that one.
Because I have done that multiple times. But
So how do you balance all that stuff and not short shrift somebody, or do you take vacations off, or
how do you do that? Well, I'll just do my experience first. Is I've always found that it's really
notice how she said you could answer things and then she starts.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. Did I hit you? I would just say from my experience of how many times I guess I have done it. I think it's like having a second full-time job. I mean, a lot of us have had more than one job at the same time, but I think there is...
But not the same hours. That's the tricky
part.
But
when you're this job, and even City of Eureka, they're 24-hour jobs. I mean, you want to get called by people when there's something going on outside their business in the middle of the night, because it can happen.
Yeah. I do.
Well, why would they call you? Anyway.
Because we have a 24/7 business. Mm-hmm. And they think I can answer it. No.
You have.
So I will say, as someone who's also, you know, run while being in, in office, admittedly not paid commensurate with a full-time job on the city council. So I work other jobs in addition to that. And I will say most of the time that campaigning needs to happen is evening and weekends when people are home and available and not at work. So
that makes sense.
Voter outreach time is sort of, quote, after hours. So I'm sure there's a lot of juggling that has to happen for everybody. But, one would generally think that's sort of people's own time. Although when you're an elected official, it's never your own time.
I suspect for somebody who's never been elected, or I guess been in business, they don't understand the 24/7 thing. Oh, yeah, owner hours. You just kind of show up around 11 o'clock and go home around 3.
I've never had weekends.
I used to dream of having a job like that, where you just go to work and then you go home and you're done. I've never had one of those.
I know. I'm considering that. I wonder what I do.
I wonder if, for those of us who have done that, if you just go stir crazy. I go twitchy on a 3-day weekend if I'm not doing something.
Yeah, if I have free time, I'm like, what else could I do? That's how I started playing roller derby. I was like, gosh, I have too much time in the evenings after 7 p.m. and I'm restless. So
7 p.m. for me, and I'm happy to do nothing and read at that point if I had the chance.
I'm hoping I'm home by 7.
that's true.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, in the meeting schedule that being an elected goes through is a bit challenging too. I mean, it's going to be a little bit different going from part-time nighttime to full-time daytime for a majority of the events. But balancing all that stuff is got to be a little tricky.
A lot of our council meetings in Eureka have been going till 10 or 11 p.m. pretty regularly. I will say there's a certain amount of brain power lost after a certain point in the day. I'm sort of looking forward to the daytime meetings, but I know they are also quite long.
Well, I was going to say maybe, and hopefully we'll get most of these appeals out of the way. We can talk more about that later.
Okay.
They're painful.
It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie Arroyo and Virginia Bass. They both claim to be 4th District Supervisors.
you're sitting in the middle. We're not.
Yeah, so I can get taken out from both sides. Good. So if you hear a large thud, you'll know which of the three of us it was.
Absolutely.
Updates on the status with the county budget and the auditor controller unwinding. I'm hearing disturbing on the street.
Why don't you tell me what you're hearing first before I can counter and say
that it's far more complicated, that there's not nearly as much money, and that the hole is bigger.
See, and I have not heard that piece yet.
Oh, dandy.
I mean, it is very complicated. Our CFO that came over from we hired Tabitha from Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for her, Because it's like, did you know how bad it was going to be?
She goes, wait a minute. Wait a minute. She's riding in on a white horse with a white cowboy hat on.
She's great.
She's going to be.
Plus, she painted her house in town. She's a Victorian. She did such a nice job. You know, I love it when people redo houses and it looks so special. But she is really digging in. Cheryl's back now, or Cheryl's in the office.
Yes.
And part time because she's still finishing out her time over at Riadel.
That's an interesting way to say it.
You know, from what I'd heard,
she's serving her time in Riadel.
She is serving her time. Finishing her sentence. But I, you know, most recently, I think as of last week, I mean, we're on a bit of a break right now. I was, Supervisor Bonner and I were at the National Association of Counties Conference last week. And so the board is, you know, we're kind of dark. But last I heard, you know, there's a lot of work going. It is more complicated. Apparently, there was situations where a lot of deposits were made in batches, so it was hard to decide what came from where. There's just a lot of moving parts.
So it's kind of like spaghetti, and just kind of.
We usually get an update every couple of weeks. We did put a hiring freeze in place just to be careful. You know, essential positions or anything that was already out to be
hired.
Yeah, those are still going, but that right now, from everything I've heard. But I've been gone for 4 days. Could be, you know, it's basically there's a stopgap measure in case we find out how bad it, you know, if it's really, really bad.
Are the contingency funds large enough to be able to cover the whole?
I believe so.
Okay.
We've been pretty conservative, but you're still taking it from other. I mean, Elise should be the one to really answer that one, but you'd be.
Why
taking
no? But she's not here. You didn't bring her. You brought her.
Well, the thing is, we don't. As supervisors, our job is not really to get down in the weeds on how the entire budget works.
No, but
right?
You got to know if the ship is sinking. Right. You don't have to know how to grease the engine.
Hey, believe me, we've got buckets ready. We were afraid we were going to have to start bailing
okay.
out.
Okay, well, that's better than life raft.
That's true. Yeah. That's next.
That's for us, not for
but,
you.
Yeah, so.
If
yeah.
you could just pump the bilge and, you know, right the vessel by January, that would be perfect. Yeah.
We're going to call the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
See, it'll help.
Well, that's why I was going to ask you, Natalie. Okay, you've been aware of the proceedings and
sure.
the actions. And at least from what Miles at the city has said, that it hasn't impacted Eureka nearly to the same extent as other jurisdictions. But nonetheless, what are you thinking about all this stuff? Are you excited that it's now going in the right direction and that things kind of will be known a little bit? Maybe not by the time you're in, or maybe it's by the a couple months before that.
Sure. I'm very hopeful that, you know, things are going in the right direction. I will say that I've been following it to the extent I can, but I'm not in all those closed session meetings. And so I don't. You know, I have the perspective
when
of someone
can you,
who's...
When can she get into the closed sessions? When
she's
actually, when she can vote?
January 10th and beyond.
Okay.
Oh, I've got until the 10th. Okay,
I
cool.
Think, I think until the 10th.
The 1st. No. I actually started moving out of my office already so the staff can make changes in there. It's kind of weird. I like it.
Oh, good.
Walking around with boxes.
And everybody applauds?
Not
when
yet.
You walk by?
Not yet.
With a box?
No.
Oh, gee.
I heard I'm going to get a little bitty closet, but I'm happy with it. I'm perfectly
well,
content.
Well, like, yeah. Well, it was funny. Supervisor Bone wanted to take over the office.
Yeah, he
and
thought
it
was an upgrade, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, and there are some of us of the opinion that perhaps offices are not required. We have a joint meeting room, and then we have some standing workstations. Thank you very much, and that's it.
Well, Zoom, I would say I... Shouldn't be hitting you today, but I've known you long enough.
Well, and I'm in range also.
Yeah, a lot of times you're sitting further away, right?
Yeah.
This is the odd thing. I moved out the other day a lot of my stuff, and I said, hey, can you move my computer station somewhere temporarily so they can get in and do the work? So then today I realized, oh, I was supposed to do this presentation for a group of high school students in the state that are taking this leadership. And I'm going, I have no place to have my Zoom going because you can't.
Why don't you go into the chambers?
Well, I will if there's nobody in there, but other people use the chamber. So it's just a little, I think having offices are nice for if you're having a meeting or if you just want some quiet space.
Yeah.
Because that place in there,
yeah,
you have to close the
door.
An
area, but yeah. Does everybody need one? You know, I mean, you hear stories through the years that, you know, well, so-and-so hasn't been here for weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that means they're out doing things and seeing people and, you know, not cloistered.
Well, I figure I'm going to be sitting out in the front desk in the CAO's office, totally open. So I will be there to welcome you into the CAO's office.
What a trooper. See?
I'm partial to working at my kitchen counter. I will say during the whole pandemic, yeah. I set up a lovely office at home. And I have, you know, office space at my various jobs. But I just really love sitting at that kitchen counter. There's
if I did that within arm's range of the fridge, that would not be a good thing. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass and Natalie Arroyo. So, Natalie, are you ready to speak in PC? Because I would imagine whatever at the state level, there's a lot more attention being paid to that kind of stuff than there is at a city or a school board, you know, where somebody may have a feather or two ruffled, but it's not magnified.
Just
the protocols and all that kind of stuff. I would think it's kind of halfway exciting.
It is exciting.
And a little daunting at the same time.
It is. It's a big shift. I mean, I've thankfully had some practice. And, you know, sometimes when I'm in a new situation that's uncertain for me, I will say having some background in the military is really helpful because I kind of put on that military bearing and, I kind of close it up and just... you know, only
watch.
Say what needs to be said and then until I kind of get my feet under me.
You're talking
so
to me?
That's my approach.
Virginia, how long did it take before you felt like you hit stride? Was that first term or second term?
Well, I would think probably really second term from the standpoint that coming over, there is a lot to learn. I mean, there are things that are very different. But part of it is when you start seeing things actually happen. You know, it takes a long time in local government or any government. And so I think partway through, you know, a year or two, you start feeling a lot more comfortable with what's happening. But understanding the process and how long it does take for things to be happening. Things that started under my watch may never even be done by, you know, another 10 or 12 years. So many things are long term.
Oh, and, you just had a chance for a cheap shot.
Huh?
Not only your term, and then she'd look at me and say, maybe in your term. And say, no.
Right. No, I meant lifetime term. While we're both all alive.
Oh. Yeah, no, you're talking about the big...
I can't imagine you... Yeah. That.
You're right.
Well, I will say that there's a certain amount of that I'm used to from my other roles of, you know, I will certainly say there were things that happened in my first 4 years on the city council that were, you know, planning efforts that then started to come to fruition now and will definitely the actual benefits won't be realized until I'm gone. And I know that and knew that going into it. But with a background in, you know, both watershed restoration and trail planning, those are things that are long, long, long term efforts. They're often
the county gets to play with those too.
So, you know, you realize you might be doing something that you'll never see the benefits of in your lifetime. Truly, when it comes to watershed restoration and forest health and things like that, you know, you realize like, oh, I'm making an investment that is truly for future generations. And so I think I've come to some kind of peace with that.
Okay, so you brought it up. The swamp between at the mouth of Elk River that's being created.
The swamp. Okay. The wetland. Yeah. Indeed.
Why? I've had a ton of people say, why?
Great question. So it's incredibly productive, bioproductive estuary habitat.
So there are coho salmon.
As a field? As a cow field?
No, it's going to be, so a lot of the channels are being dredged, and there will be...
We've been seeing the guys out there digging and digging and digging.
Yeah. So actually, Martin Slough, where the golf course is one of the most productive coho salmon habitats for juvenile coho salmon all around Humboldt Bay and anywhere in the region. So this is going to add to that. That's, you know, a tributary to the Elk River. So this will add to the habitat for.
So there's a thought to bring back the salmon?
There are a lot of coho salmon there already, but this is adding to the area.
Ryan Slough had them too.
Yeah, Ryan Slough, Jacoby Creek, Freshwater Creek. I mean, all around Humboldt Bay, we really have some pretty awesome coho salmon strongholds, and so that's the idea with that project.
Hasn't it all silted in pretty good?
It has silted in, so that's why it's being dredged and excavated, and then they're allowing, they're modifying the tide gates so that there will be some inflow from the bay. Correct. Yes, so they'll work, and so they'll kind of carry some of that sediment out towards the bay where, you know, in a more natural regime.
And then the dredge will pick it up, and I mean, it's not going to impact the channel, is it?
So the channel will continue to be dredged by the Army Corps. There's the possibility, so I'm not a hydrologist, so I can say, or a geomorphologist, but I can say that.
But you know where water is.
I know where water is, and I know that sediment is going to be, you know, suspended in the water, and some of it will go out to sea, and some of it will deposit elsewhere in the bay.
That's not my specialty.
Yeah, apparently not.
I can talk about that all day.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to several cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass and Natalie Arroyo. What's the number one project, Natalie, that you see in the city of Eureka? That, because I know you're following kind of Virginia's trail here, going that you're going to have the most tough or difficult time not putting your hands on. when you move up to being a supervisor, because it's a city project, not a county project?
That's an interesting question. I hadn't actually given too much thought to what I'm going to have a hard time letting go of.
Don't expect normal questions out of here.
Interesting framing. So I think some of the housing development efforts would be hard to stay out of. And I think there's potentially a role for the county to work with the city on those anyway, or to at least remain involved.
I'm writing my own notes.
You're writing your own notes, okay. I want to hear Virginia's answer to what
she's taking over my note paper. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So I would say those are projects that are near and dear to me, and I think are critically important. We were just talking on the break a little bit about some of the challenges in the region. And so, you know, I think those are ones that if I saw it going off the rails, I would have a hard time not being involved, but I think that there's a role to maintain involvement.
Well, I would suspect with so much of our area being under the umbrella of the Coastal Commission that the county will be involved and will have to be carrying a lot of the water, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, the city of Eureka has its own local coastal program and, you know, has its own relationship with the Coastal Commission, overlaps certainly with the counties. But, you know, I think that the city is in a place to continue to advocate for development in the coastal zone.
And, I think everybody's advocating for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's that little word that starts with an S and ends with successful.
Ends with successful.
Yes, that is the toughy part. What you're smiling now too with your notes?
It's just kind of funny because I went through the same thing. It's like, well, shoot, all my projects are here, and this is a city project. And I'll give one specific example. Actually, there's two that I can think of, especially with housing. Mm-hmm. And I think the one that meant the most to me that I didn't realize the magnitude I could have is finding out a lot of the housing projects, especially many of the Danco ones, they can't get past the finish line as far as the funding that comes from the state or federal resources. And you find that every year something changes.
What's promised or to get the project off the ground?
So you can just get it off the ground. And because they go in as a partnership and they, you know, there's dollars that come, there's tax credits that come, but the rules change every year. And there was a few years ago, specifically for the Vets building, and I don't know if anyone even knows this, but the way we worked with our voucher system in Humboldt County was the person-based vouchers. I found out other communities were doing it project-based, which means if you change it to project-based, you can use that amount of money, a matching for the funds that you know, the state wants. And it took a year to get the Housing Authority to change that, but it made that project and the SMO project able to go past the finish line in many ways. You also realize, you find out Health and Human Services, you know, they have dollars they can bring to the table if a certain number of human units are for seniors or for mentally ill or disabled.
Categorical stuff.
So yeah. There's ways the county does can stay really involved, but sometimes you find out accidentally how that can be. I wouldn't have had a clue about why it was so hard to get the funding from, you know, the outside sources.
Well, isn't there, you know,
we
make a supposition that it exists not being inside. But isn't there a lot of discussion already between building and planning at the county and the equivalent at the various cities to try to help facilitate and make this stuff happen and coordinate? And, we would think that would make sense, you know, the networking you guys were talking about at the supervisor level. Well, don't they do that at the departmental level too, locally, to let everybody know what's going on and here's an idea we just found and share the idea and make this stuff happen?
There's, I think, a lot of collegial cooperation that happens there. I also think there's a certain tendency not to, you know, step on each other's toes. If the city of Eureka is leading one project, you know, I don't think that county planning or building staff would jump in to say, here's how, should do it unless they're asked. Right. So there's a certain amount of, you know, letting each jurisdiction do its own thing, but
in
cooperating.
Just general discussions about, you know, if you have a planner in one department and, you know, the planners get together and talk, hey, I got this weird one. And, you know, just kind of that level, very informal rather than a formal structure.
You mean at the bar?
Yeah, basically, yeah. It'd be after the meetings at the bar.
Coffee shop,
when you're grabbing donuts, getting ready to go to the first meeting.
Yeah.
I don't grab donuts.
It's a small community, and I think a lot of people who have a particular specialty do end up talking to each other and meeting with each other, both formally and informally. But so I've heard that our staff have really good relationship with the county staff and work closely with them. And the same with, like, the Coastal Commission staff. I mean, they really consult with them and build a good relationship. So I think there's a lot more of that than people realize. There's a lot more relationships behind the scenes that are pivotal to making things work than people know.
I just had a flash idea. I'm going to ask both of you because we've only got about a minute and a half to go. What's your definition of good for a department? When do you know that a department is good?
Versus great?
Well, a lot of times we say it's better.
Fantastic.
Better is relative to itself. Good is an independent standard.
I think this is what I hear frequently, is if I don't get calls of complaints and I don't get people angry and I don't ever hear about your department, you're doing good. You know?
That's a fair barometer.
Yeah. I mean, because you will hear when people are not happy. And that's so it's
and not, nice. not the singleton. Multiples.
Yeah, you know, and it's also just, you know, but that is one indication. You know, someone said that might have been Rex years ago that said that, but there's an amount of truth. If you don't get complaints about it, it's easier assumption that things are going okay.
I would say if you get complaints, sometimes it's important to parse it out, whether it's about the fact that they don't like that the project that ultimately, you know, the electeds have directed staff to work on. If they don't like the project that the staff are working on, then that's one thing. Then I think I would take the heat for that versus letting the staff take the heat for that or calling them not good. It's like, well, if you don't like the policy, point that feedback at me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would concur that if, you know, there are customer service complaints, then there's room for improvement there. And that's when it needs to be worked on.
Listen to whatever they say and go.
Yeah, well, content counts.
Yep.
Like this show. Thanks for coming by, ladies. See everybody tomorrow.